right. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Saturday morning. Looking forward to today's guest. We're going to be talking with golf professional, Sands Point Golf Club, Robert Gick. Sands Point is a A.W. Tillinghast gem on Long Island. It happens to be one of my favorite golf courses. And so I'm really looking forward to talking to him. No news and notes roundup this week as some of the scheduled Met Area tournaments were canceled. But looking forward to watching the rest of the amateur USAM at Pinehurst. 2 and number 4 has been featured all week. The U.S. Women's AM was absolutely awesome. I hope people got a chance to see those two young ladies who dueled down and came down to the last, to the 18th hole with Ruffles birdieing the last two holes to go one up and then close it out. Just a really tremendous, tremendous entertainment, number one, but just the way to watch these girls, the way they hit the ball, the way they play golf, the maturity of their games, their composure, was really just tremendous and well done by Valenzuela, who did a nice job, which must have been a really gut-wrenching experience having been a runner-up for a second time. Imagine being that close and then still doing the post-round interview with Golf Channel, with Fox Sports, was really a tremendous credit to her integrity and her character. Was really just wonderful to see these fine young women playing at the top of their games. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll be talking to golf professional at Sands Point Golf Club, Robert Gick. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, and we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, and on the line is the golf professional at Sands Point Golf Club, Robert Gick. Robert, thank you for joining me this morning.
Anthony, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start with you. I'm always interested in the beginnings. As being somebody who my parents didn't play, my father didn't play golf, and I kind of found the game on my own. I'm always just kind of curious how people find the game. How were you introduced to the game of golf?
Well, when I was 14, I'm a homegrown boy here at Sands Point. I started caddying here back in 1988.
Wow.
And yeah, so I've been on property for a long time. And, you know, I've been lucky enough that I've just continued to progress in my career and my life, and I'm the head pro now, and it's been great. It's been a dream.
So you, the hometown boy comes home. That's what a rewarding experience for you when you were named.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I actually live probably about a par 5 away from the fence of the golf club. I used to jump the fence when I was a young kid and sneak out for a little bit. Before I started caddying, but I was lucky enough to start caddying, like I said, back in the late 80s, and have loved it ever since. It's my home, and it's been fantastic.
So take us through from your days caddying at Sands Point. You know, at what point did you play in high school? Did you just caddy? Did you always know you wanted to be a teaching professional? Did you want to play? Did you have aspirations? How did you mature into this role?
You know, obviously looking for a summer job. My brother got me into it, and I was actually a baseball player growing up. So I played baseball through my high school and college years, and played golf on the side, but I never took it all that seriously. I didn't play, you know, competitive golf as a junior or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Started caddying in high school. I kind of moved into the bag room because I wanted something a little more consistent. Mm-hmm. And some of my friends were working in the bag room. So I would play golf casually and just have fun with it. And once my baseball career was over, you know, luckily I was athletic enough where I kept kind of building up. The game got a little better and I started taking a little more seriously. Back in the mid 90s, I asked my boss at the time, Rick Haldis, who was the longtime pro at Sands Point, about, again, moving up in the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I graduated college, there was the position of the assistant open. And he let me slide right in there, and off I went.
And so then you went through the whole procedure, and did you work anywhere in between, or did you just have you been at Sands Point the entire time?
I've been at Sands Point my whole life. I was the assistant pro since 1997 and took over the head job back in 2009 when Rick retired.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So what
it's a good story.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable story. I'm curious. I want to get to the restoration of this A.W. Tillinghast. And in full disclosure, folks, I've had the fortunate pleasure to play Sands Point, and it's actually one of my favorite golf courses to play on Long Island. I've been fortunate enough to play a bunch. Sands Point has it all, and then it underwent a restoration. But let's talk a little bit about the evolution of the golf course up until, let's say, before and after the restoration. At what point did the membership and want to restore the golf course?
Well, yeah, we're obviously a Tillinghast golf course. He built it in 1927. And there was a little bit of talk, you know, back in 2008, 2009, some golf courses were going through some renovations. I know Fresh Meadow did a lot of bunker work back then, and we had some mutual members and some friends of members, and the bunkers there came out fantastic. So we decided Keith Foster was the architect that did the job at Fresh Meadow. And, you know, our board at the time just kind of wanted to spruce it up a little bit. We wanted to give a product out that was growing with the times. We were a very parkland golf course at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of just wanted to get our golf course up and about and get it moving forward in those times and make it one of the premier golf courses on Long Island. So we ended up calling Keith. And Keith is a Tillinghast expert, and Keith never heard of us at the time. So that just proves how much of a hidden gem we were prior to it.
Right.
You know, we've always had that idea of being a hidden gem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we somehow convinced Keith to come out, even though, again, he didn't know of us.
Right.
And he took his little walk around, his 36 hole walk around, and came back just shaking his head and couldn't believe. He said, "How have I never heard of you guys?"
That's amazing.
And he loved the place. He fell in love with it prior to him even doing the job. And we started the restoration. You know, he drew up the plans, started the restoration in 2012. And it's fantastic.
How, what was it like? So there were a couple of people obviously involved. You've been involved since the beginning, the membership, Keith Foster, and then Phil Young. How did this come to fruition? How did you guys all come together? When did Phil get involved? And, obviously it's not an easy thing to go through this process. Maybe sort of talk a little bit about the dynamics of trying to take on, you know, like you said, you had this beautiful hidden gem and you want to do right by it. Maybe take us through some of the machinations of how you guys got this done.
Yeah, right around that time, I don't know the exact dates,
right.
But right around that time, I think Keith took his walk around. Keith called Phil Young, who is the, I believe, president of the Tillinghast Society,
yep,
or the founder.
Right.
And I think Keith himself wanted some information on the golf course. So Keith started, Phil started doing a little research. He heard of us before, And he really delved into it. And, you know, just the history of the whole place came about. And
yep.
Phil was enamored by it. Keith was even more excited to get here and start the job. And so throughout the first couple of years, you know, Phil was out here. He played a little bit. He came out. We did a lot of research on the place.
Mm-hmm.
And Herbert Warren Wynn, who some people may know, I think was an idol of Phil's at the time. He was so excited when he found out that he was a member here back in the day. So,
wow, I didn't know that.
So it's been pretty good ever since.
I've had when I played there, I actually was fortunate enough to play with Phil, and you know, he rode around with me, and we kind of talked about the. It was just amazing what good architecture can do to help you. Actually, if you pay attention to it, and I think you would appreciate this as a professional, the more you play, the more you appreciate the architecture. I think it made me a better player, actually. That round was a significant round for me in terms of knowing what to look for, seeing what you guys sort of peeled back and revealed. It made me a better player. Does that sound right? Does that sound funny? Or
it made me a better player as well. So, no, it doesn't sound funny at all.
Yeah, right? Maybe talk a little bit about that, when getting that insight and how that made you a better player, because being a professional, you probably can say it a little better than I can.
I mean, just the insight of being with Keith on a day-to-day basis when he was up here during the job,
mm-hmm.
Was just so much fun. Just there were ideas that we bounced around a lot, and Keith was like, well, you can't do that because of this. Keith's big thing with us, obviously our main priority was somewhat of a bunker restoration. He touched every bunker on the golf course,
mm-hmm.
And they weren't very viewable. You couldn't see them off the tees.
Okay.
So he wanted to make the bunker work a lot more viewable. Obviously, for the golfer's eye, just to have that idea of when you're standing on a tee, you see that sea of sand out there.
Yep.
In a lot of areas that, you know, it just feels a lot tighter than it really is.
Sure.
You know, so he dropped a lot of foregrounds on the bunkers, and you can look right into all the bunkers on the golf course. We obviously did a major tree program and took out a lot of trees and incorporated a lot of native area to the golf course. So we went from a parkland golf course. I wouldn't categorize ourselves as a links golf course now.
Right.
But we went from a strict parking golf course to what I think a lot of places today are trying to get to.
Yep.
A lot of native areas. You know, I think with the future, you know, the water conservation aspect and all that, where these native areas don't need that water, and it's going to save us in the long run with that. So I think Keith had that foresight in doing that job back in 2012, and it's been fantastic. We knocked some tees down. We had very pedestal-like tees where you would walk up a couple of feet, and each tee was up on the ground. And he kind of made it seem like the tees were just meant to be there. He knocked all those down, knocked it just in the normal lay of the land. And it's, I mean, everybody, we couldn't be happier with it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
He, you know, he touched upon some greens. We didn't do any huge major constructions to the green pads themselves. He did some green expansions. But he did a lot of the bunkers where the bunkers almost seem like they're underneath the green. It's just like a push-up green. It's good stuff. And we're happy with it.
The what I love about the property is the layers that he revealed when he took down the trees. You really sort of now, you really get a better grasp of the whole property as you go through it. And it really, it's a beautiful walk as you get to view different areas of the property.
Yeah, the walk is fantastic. And, you know, we're built on 126 acres, so it's not a huge piece of land. But when you're on each individual hole, it just seems like there's nothing around you.
Right.
And it's great.
And it doesn't feel, you mentioned the size of the lot, but it's not, it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like it's squeezed in anywhere or shoehorned in anywhere. It's the layout is beautiful.
Yeah, there was a couple of places where some fairways that ran parallel, it did seem a little tight.
Uh-huh.
You had trees separating it, but it did seem a little tight. And Keith did change some fairway lines to create more space between holes. And it's worked out well.
Yeah. And the par threes there are phenomenal. My favorite is still number two, the Little Tilly there. That's one of my favorite holes on the property. You've got a couple of little template place holes there. Little Tilly is my favorite, though, on the property. What do you have a particular favorite?
I think the 12th hole is the best. It's 205 yards or about downhill, par three.
Yep.
So it's a good test. It's the biggest green on the golf course.
Yep.
But yet it's a good test. But I just love the view because you're standing on the 12th tee. That's elevated just a little bit.
Yep.
And you're looking out over 12 and right over 13, which I think is our signature par four from the back tee. It's 450 from the back tee. And, you know, I know a lot of people know us as having the, 600-yard par five, the 14th hole.
Yep.
But I think the 13th hole is probably the best hole on the golf course, 450. And usually the prevailing winds is a little into you.
Yep.
So it makes it just that much longer. And you look right from that 12th tee, you just look straight out on those two holes, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great par three as well. I just have like a little affinity, I guess, for the little Tillies.
Well, that little 125-yard par three bites you sometimes. So
it really does.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And if you're above the hole there, it's kind of, if that pin's in the front, and you're above the hole, which you're most likely going to be, it's a little bit of a, it's a tester coming down the hill there.
Yeah. We try to put that pin whenever we have tournaments here, we try to put that pin up front because you have the two bunkers that are guarding the front of the green.
Yep.
And like you said, I mean, the safe play is to hit it back there, but it's slopey. So our greens don't slope all that much, but that one runs pretty quick, and you have to be a little careful being above the hole there.
Yep, absolutely. What are there any plans to do anything in the future with the golf course? I mean, I know it's pretty much beautiful as it is, and what you guys done as a membership and with the help of Keith and Phil is phenomenal. Is there anything else that you guys are still working on? I think there's always sort of fine-tuning.
Yeah, there's some tweaks here and there, and we've been discussing things. There's nothing guaranteed right now.
Uh-huh.
We're actually going to do a clubhouse renovation starting this fall, so that's, I think, the priority at this point. But as far as the golf course, I think the golf course is so good right now. We have a new superintendent, well, not so new now, but right after the renovation, we hired Pat Ryan, I think back in the fall of 2013, and he's just done an absolutely amazing job with this golf course. The place is fantastic, and it's awesome. I can't say enough about the work that Pat's done, and, you know, I'm kind of like looking out over the golf course right now, and it's the best. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to love? And Pat Ryan is an awesome guy. I got to meet him before I knew. I didn't know. We were just kind of talking for a little bit before I found out where he was at a Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association meeting event. And what a super, super nice guy, quality individual. And then when he said where he was from, I was like, oh, my God. I said, I love that golf course. I met Robert out there, and it's just a super guy and a real, just a quality individual, the kind of guy you want running your golf course for sure.
Yeah, we're happy as can be with him. I mean, he's out here, works his tail off, and, you know, like I said, the place, it's hard to say that it's better than last year because last year was so good, but just every year it just gets better and better with conditions. And we have the 2020 Long Island Open being played here next year. So obviously that's going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. We're going to take a short break. We're going to have more with Robert Gick from the golf professional at Sands Point Golf Club. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it, Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family featuring three different models designed for the better player to our JPX family featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
And we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, and on the line is the head professional at Sands Point Golf Club, Robert Gick. Robert, you mentioned that you're going to be having the 2020 LI Open at Sands Point Golf Club, and where it's going to bring a lot of attention to this sort of hidden gem. You've had the pleasure, as you said, you've been in the Met area basically all your life. Talk a little bit about, I think, teaching and playing in this area is particularly special, you know, and for you who's a hometown kid, must be particularly special for you.
Yeah, Anthony, the Met section, the Metropolitan section of the PGA, it's the place where you want to be. It's, you know, without disrespecting all the other sections, but it's the best section in the,
sure,
in the country.
Yeah.
We have such qualified professionals up here. We have great players, and you know, just the clubs and the golf courses that we have up on Long Island and Westchester and just the Northeast in general, it's phenomenal. So, you know, I'm lucky enough where I kind of sneak away to Florida in the wintertime and meeting a lot of guys from other sections. You know, they're always envious of the Met section guys because it is the best.
What, who do you, do you play in a lot of events in the PGA, section? I know they have a tournament every week. I know it's kind of difficult, to always get out there and play, but, how fun is it to get out there and see your colleagues? And, what I like about even the golf course superintendents, and I'm sure the Met professionals as well, it's a very professional and a very collegial section. It seems to be like there's a lot of sharing and a lot of camaraderie that goes along with being in the section.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're all friends out here. You know,
yeah,
we're trying to beat each other. We're trying to win. We're trying to do our best. But in the end, we're just all friends out here, and we're all pulling for each other. And it, you know, it's just a great sport. You know, golfers helping golfers, and even though we're competitors, you know, we want to see each other do well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a friend of mine's having a problem, he comes over and, you know, we take a look at the swing and vice versa, you know, and it's great. And just the Met section does such a great job in running tournaments around here, along with the MGA, who obviously we have the Met Open coming up in a couple of weeks over at Piping Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the whole section, the LIGA, the Met PGA, and the MGA, it is amazing playing up here. We are so lucky to have so many events and to give us that opportunity to compete. You know, we all love to play golf, and it's just fun when there's something a little on the line with it.
You mentioned, I'm just curious quickly, as a teaching professional, and you mentioned being able to have people take a look at your swing, and or if you're looking at people's swing, do you have a particular philosophy, any particular inspirations when it comes to your teaching philosophy?
You know, I don't have one philosophy per se.
Mm-hmm.
I like taking bits and pieces. You know, everybody's so individualized.
Yeah.
You know, nobody swings the same. So like Arnold Palmer, you know, a few years back, I remember that commercial, swing your swing.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, everybody swings differently. And obviously, all that really matters is that moment of impact and you know, club face and path and all that sort of stuff. So you might take different philosophies to get it to where you need it to get to. So I'm not a one philosophy guy.
Yep.
So yeah, just it all depends on the golfer where I go from there.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And to be fair, probably there's a lot of people out there that physically can't do the things that maybe a particular philosophy would ask of a particular golfer, just because they can't physically get in those positions. And I don't know if that's spoken enough about when we talk about golf instruction.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, obviously, as we all get older, we lose a little strength, we lose a little or a lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to get people moving differently than certain philosophies are, just to kind of help them get everything going correctly.
Absolutely. One last thing before we go, we got to wrap things up pretty quickly here, but I'm just curious. Favorite golf courses in the area that you like to play? Obviously, you love Sands Point. You grew up there, and I get it, and I love it. As I said, full disclosure, I haven't played it. It's one of my favorites in the area. But any particular golf courses in the area that are special to you?
Bethpage Black.
Yeah?
Just for some reason, you know, the minute I pull into that parking lot, I just think that facility is awesome, and the golf course is just amazing. Obviously, it's hosted major championships before.
Sure.
But I think that's my all-time favorite. I don't know if I'd like to play it every day because it beats you up pretty good.
Never. But no,
I
definitely
think
not.
That's probably my all-time favorite. Obviously, Shinnecock is right there as well. You know, like I said earlier, we're just so lucky to have so many quality golf courses around here.
Yep.
I mean, we're spoiled, basically.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches.
It really is.
Piping Rock, another good one, not far from you, which is holding the Met Open, as you mentioned, is another good one. There's a lot. It's funny you mentioned Shinnecock because I find it not exactly. I don't equate it to either being a Phil guy or a Tiger guy back in the day when they were at their height of their peak of their powers. But it's funny people mention. They'll either mention Shinnecock or National, like one or the other. They never mention, because they're so kind of distinctly different.
Right.
But it's funny. So you mentioned Shinnecock. You give the edge to Shinnecock over National to what appeals to you?
I do.
Yeah.
You know, there's an argument to be made there.
Yeah.
Obviously, National is awesome in its own right.
Yeah.
But
no. There's
something for me. You know, standing on that first tee, like standing on the first tee of Bethpage Black is like standing on that first tee at Shinnecock. You just, I guess, just the aura about it.
Yep.
It's just awesome knowing, you know, who walked those paths.
Sure.
You know, throughout history and, you know, the championships that each golf course has held.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously National is National.
Phenomenal,
and,
yeah.
And obviously there's an argument to be made there. But, yeah, it's just Shinnecock's just.
Yeah, no, I get it, and I
almost gives me butterflies to play there.
Yeah, you know? The day I played there, I did have butterflies. It was it's an amazing experience. I was I'm a more of a National guy myself, but but I do get, you know, and there's no wrong answer, and there's no disrespect. It's just, you know, it's like, you know. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and some things speak to others more than other people. I mean, there's no disrespect or any wrong answer. It's just funny how, you know, people have their different tastes for whatever particular reason. So I get it. But they're both wonderful in their own right. I mean, you're really talking about a 1A and a 1B.
You know what I mean? And they could flip-flop it at any moment.
Absolutely. Well, Robert, that's all the time we have this week. I really appreciate your time carving out a little piece of your morning for us. It was a pleasure to talk to you about this wonderful, which after next year, maybe not so hidden gem in Sands Point Golf Club. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Anthony, thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Absolutely. All right. That was Robert Gick, the head professional at Sands Point Golf Club. Folks, thanks for joining me this morning. Always a pleasure and an honor to have your company. make sure to tune in next week. Go see your local professional. And if you need clubs, why not Pete's Golf? Have a great weekend, and have a great day, everybody. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.